then as praise and worship was going on, I was like, that's not what I'm gonna say. So basically, I was at the grocery store today. And while I was in the store, it's like your eyes, spiritual eyes are open. You know, it should be all the time, but, you know, sometimes it's sometimes. So in that moment, they were open. And I just saw so much brokenness in me. I saw, you can see hurt on people. You can see pain on people. You can see even like their physical body, like their limb missing or they're crippled or something. They're not made whole like God has called them to be. And for ever since I was a child, like my heart was hurt and I thought it was sympathy or even sometimes pity. But it was like, I see now that it was the Holy Spirit telling me that there is more for them. That you can do more, you know, like that doesn't have to be your end state. You have the authority, the Holy Spirit's in you to heal them. And it's like, you know, so you have these urges to go and help people. And it's like, yeah, I'll provide you finances or a place to stay, but they need so much more than that. They need Jesus. And it's like, I guess just being bold enough to bring the message of Christ to them. Even I was just, as praise and worship was going on, the story that came to me was, I don't know all the details. I can't remember off the top of my head, but the man who got healed, you know, his friends carried him through the roof. The Lord healed him. And he said he saw the faith through the friends, not necessarily the man needing healing. So when you're encountering people who need to be healed, you don't have to worry about them being a believer or not. Like, that's not a requirement for them to experience healing. You bring the faith. And when you bring the faith, God sees it and he heals them and then they see God. You know, so it's just, I just want to tell you guys to be bold when God puts something on your heart to share a word, to heal them, to bring, you know, be bold, like the power of the Holy Spirit is in us, and he wants to work through our hands, and we can make the lame walk. We can make the crippled straight. We can, you know, create organs. If someone needs a heart, we can, through faith, do that for them. So I just want to share, just be bold in that. Be sensitive to the Spirit. There's so much more we can do as believers other than meeting their natural needs. Like, we can give them Jesus. So just wanted to share that. Amen.
Amen. Let's be bold in 2019. Amen.
Oh, gosh. Don't say it. Praise the Lord, everybody. I just want to give honor to Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's had my life since I was about 20 years old. He's kept his love and mercy around me even before then. Amen. Honor to the senior pastor of this house, Pastor Carlos Pedro. Some called him apostle. I called him pastor. I called him friend. I called him many things. And his lovely first lady and wife, Pastor Marian Sabella. Amazing woman of God. Amen. So my word for today is intentional. I had to think about this. I've been working on this for about 3-ish weeks, more or less. It's kind of been coming head over heels a little differently, but I had to intentionally start doing it. Amen. So I need you to turn to Proverbs 24 and 16. Proverbs 24, verses 16. When you have it, say amen. And the word reads, "For a just man falls 7 times and rises back up again, and the wicked shall fall into mischief." Bow your heads and pray. Lord God, we honor you today. Not just for a new year, but a new time in you, Lord God. For your word tells us that this is a day that you have made, Lord God, and that we would rejoice and be glad in it. Yesterday has passed away, and tomorrow is not promised. So we will rejoice in this day and this day alone until the next day when we will rejoice again, Lord God. We thank you, we honor you, and we just want to speak to our people right now, Lord God. Feed them through this clay vessel, Lord God. Hide me behind the cross that you may speak through me, Lord God. Not I myself, but you through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we see a just man falls 7 times, rises back up again. I have a little skip for you. Brother Deshaun, come on over here, buddy. Just to show you what it's like to be a Christian sometimes. I accidentally fall. It happens. We trip. Everything. That was a very good fall. Thank you. Thank you, sir. So, as Christians, we can fall many times. We have to rise back up again. We can trip. We can stumble. We can accidentally spill, take a trip, take this, take that. All right, Deshaun, accidentally get up now. Accidentally get up. Accidentally get up. You can't accidentally get up. Amen? You cannot accidentally do that. But, okay, let's just say maybe effort's involved. Deshaun, give us as much effort as you can randomly. Just go effort and get up. No? Okay, so random effort doesn't help. That's a lot of effort he just put into that, right? A lot of effort he just put into that. Now, let's see something here. Deshaun, think about how to get up. Think of the muscles you'll have to use and the effort you'll have to put towards it. And stand up. Less effort, but purposeful effort. Using blind effort or effort without reason will not get you anywhere. Amen? Thank you. We see this also in sports. We see teams that put forth specific effort, maybe a strategy, maybe a way to do this better, a way to do that better. They say, hey, I need you over here, and I need you over here. I need you to move this ball here, get it to this guy here in this specific time. We see them practice for specifics. They don't just randomly run down the road and just say, oh, that was enough. They could run for 10 miles. That's enough. No, it was specifically designed to do something. They had to put forth effort intentionally for a purpose. Now, I might use intentional and purpose in the same way because it's used very similarly, okay? So, going based off of what we just had in the skit, you may stumble, accidentally fall, but you have to set your mind with the intention of getting up. In the same way, we should live our lives intentionally to have God get glory through our lives. Through everything that we do, whether we speak, whether we act, whether we react. Some people don't like that. They want to be fleshly when they react. We need to be holy when we react. Amen? In our actions, in our thoughts, in our minds, in what we see and what we hear, we give glory to God. Amen? And we don't just do it blindly. We don't give blind effort because blind effort will not give you visionary results. Amen? You will not get that kind of result. Now, do another one with Deshaun. That is just a story. Deshaun, everyone knows, he likes to play basketball. I see him go out there. He'll shoot around. He'll do this. He'll dribble. He'll do this. And for as much time as I've seen him put in, he never was able to lay the ball up with his left hand. He spent lots of time out there shooting, running, dribbling, this, that, and the other thing. But he never specifically put it towards that. So for about 2 weeks, me and him would practice and play, and we just play around. But with the intention of, if I'm going to defend him, I'm going to push him to his left. I'm going to push him this way. And he has to have the intention to start laying the ball up with that left hand, even if he misses, even if he messes up, to just consistently do it. Put forth effort, put forth purpose, intentionality to do something specific. It took us about 2 weeks or so. Actually, after the first day, he was already better than I was with my left hand. So it's just one of those things where he put forth a real effort, and we put forth a real intention of doing that specific thing. We still played basketball. We were still playing around. We were still defending, doing everything else. But we weren't working on the everything else. We were working on something very specific. And my question to you would be, what specifically in your life do you need to work on? What do we need to add to our life? Maybe you're really good at getting up at 5 in the morning and praying. Maybe that's something where you're like, okay, we can do that, but then what do we add to it? We do that, but then maybe we do a little bit more over here. Hey, we got good at that. Maybe we do a little bit more over here. Not leaving those other things, but adding to them. Adding godliness on top of godliness. Adding holiness on top of holiness. Amen? For God has called us into a real relationship with Him. We want to be able to grow both as a body and personally as a spirit, as a spiritual body. We have to have a real vision for our lives, amen? We have a vision for the church. We have a goal that we're working towards for churches in general. Maybe to build, maybe to help foster numbers, maybe to do this, do that. But we don't want to have a number-driven church. We don't want to have a church full of people who are hollow. We don't want to have people just be here filling the seats, but never growing spiritually, never growing up. That's the thing that's actually on the person as well. It's on the person as well to help abide. John 15 says that we should abide in Him. It's not just us as a church, it's us as individuals. You need to abide in Him. You need to abide in Him. You do. I do. Everyone does, because that's how we grow. That's how we stay connected. Amen? God calls us to have a real relationship with Him, a one-on-one relationship with Him. Now, already, that's beautiful. The God of all the earth, The God Almighty, the God all by himself, wants to have a relationship with you and you and you and you and you and all at the same time. He wants to hear from you at 7 in the morning and then you at 7 in the morning as well. And he can do it all at once without even blinking an eye. He also calls us to love him with our heart, our soul, our strength, and to love others as ourselves. God created us to be in fellowship with him. And when we really sync up with him, we start to display him. When we really sync up with him, we start to do things in a different way. Not always visibly different, but differently as, here's an example I like to use sometimes. We can go to a football game, but we don't act like all the other people at the football game sometimes. We can enjoy. We can cheer the same way they cheer. We can do this. We can do that. But there's certain things that we abstain from. Just like I believe in the book of Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Now, he did other things. He ate the vegetables. He drank. He drank water. He drank this. He drank that. But he didn't. There were some things that just wasn't for him because he did not want to defile himself. He purposed in his heart that he would not do that. It didn't accidentally happen. Amen. So here are three Christian tasks we can do with more purpose. Amen? We can study God's Word. Studying God's Word, but with purpose. I'll tell a short story. When we were on the cruise, we have the little app that tracks how many times you open it, and you know it's nice to have a little streak going. I had like 40-some days. And believe it or not, I clicked on it to open it, and then closed it back up just so I could keep the streak. My moment of transparency right there, okay? Moment of transparency right there. Now, same kind of way it goes. You can open up and read Jesus Wept every single day. Did you fulfill reading the Word? Yes, you did. Did you get something new out of it? No, you did not. That's the thing is, what are you doing when you pick up this Word to read? What are you doing when you do this? You study the Word. We say study, and some people mean, oh, that means read a whole chapter. And that's it. No. Study means read it with a purpose to change. Either be transformed by it with your mind, with your body, with your heart, so that you can display what's inside of it. Because what's inside of it needs to get inside of you. Amen. And when we read the Bible, we don't just skim over it just for merely to satisfy our conscience. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be made perfect through the furnishings unto all good works. When we study God's word, we read it to be transformed. We have a purpose for this. Just like the lady with the issue of blood. She walked. She purposed in her heart, I just have to touch the hem of his garment and it's going to happen. I'm going to be changed by that. How many people touched Jesus at that time? How many people were rubbing, touching? It was a very crowded place. They said, Jesus, everybody touched you. Everybody touched you, but only one person got changed. The person with purpose, the person with faith. You don't put purpose towards something you don't have faith in. Amen? This is something we all have to grow in. We all have to understand that we need to purpose and be intentional with what we do. If you're randomly intentional, you're going to get random results. All right? So now we pray with purpose, all right? Psalms 145, 17 through 18 says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him and all that call upon him in truth. Prayer is communication with God. God desires for you to connect with him in prayer. And he wants to put your faith and trust him in him. And it starts with prayer. Prayer is a way of getting closer to God, to fellowship with him at all times. Right now, because of Jesus, you have 24/7 access. I'm not saying you have to do it for 3 hours a day, every single day at 5, 4 a.m. I'm saying you have 24/7 access. I get mad when Walmart closes, okay? What I'm saying is right as we leave here, you can pray to him. But what's the purpose of prayer? When you connect with him, it's not just to tell him about things. It's not just to do this, to do that. It's to really be intimate with him. Why would you pray to something you don't believe in? You only pray to something you believe in. You want to connect with that thing. You believe in the one who saved you. You believe in the one who sent his son for you. And the reason why you do that is because he is our living hope. Amen? Now, with prayer, we want to believe and we want to get something from him. But a lot of us have a hard time doing that because we're afraid with the questions of God. We're afraid to question God. We're afraid to give all of our cares upon him because we think it's a lack of faith. No, it's true faith when you call him when you have problems. Because when you call him when you have problems, you really say, Lord, you are the only one who can help me. Just like blind Bartimaeus. Thou son of David, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. He wants you to do that because he knows that when you do that, you're giving it all to him. You're casting your cares upon him because he cares for you. You can't cast your cares upon him without questions. Many times we read David and Job and all these people have problems. I mean, they have real problems. I mean, I thought I had a little bit of problems when I get into a little accident. These guys have boils and this and that. These are problems. He didn't lose his faith. He simply said, God, you have the answers. Here are the questions, okay? Here are the questions that I have. Help me. Help me find it in your word. Find it in a person of belief, amen, that you would send me an answer somehow. And even if you don't, Lord, I will tarry. Lord, I will tarry for something. Yes, no, or wait. It doesn't matter, okay? Now, number three is give God glory in what you do. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever ye drink, whatever ye eat, whatsoever you do, do it unto the glory of God. A lot of us see people in ministerial positions say, yes, they should be able to give God their glory by what they do because they're ministering to the people, they're helping the hungry, they're doing the this, they're doing the that. Not many people know that the first time the Spirit of the Lord came upon somebody, it was an artist. It was a worker in Genesis, I believe. And it was so he could make something beautiful that glorified God. Let me ask you something. With nature, how does it glorify God? We know in the Word it says the very rocks would cry out and this and that and this. But how does a flower glorify God? By blooming. How does the wind glorify God? By blowing. If you do what you're supposed to do, you glorify God in that. Because he has designed a flower to open. He has designed a flower to bloom. He has designed a fish to swim. These are things he's designed them for, and they call on to him. They sing to him his praises because they are doing what they're supposed to do. Amen? What are you supposed to do today? Amen? You can glorify God while you're at your desk. You can glorify God while you're in the supermarket because these are things that you are okay to do. All right? If there's something that doesn't glorify God, get away from it. Amen? If there's something that doesn't line up with God's word, get away from it. Amen? These are the things that we have to do as Christians because it sets us apart. God's word is truth. He says, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. That's also why we study the word, to know what truth is. Now, when you come across texts that might hurt you, in the sense, it will hurt your flesh, what do you do with those? What do you do with words from God that say, you know, a lot of us had that in my mind. Lord, as long as I don't do that thing with that woman, I'll be okay. But Jesus says, anyone who looks upon them with lust has already committed adultery in their heart. That Jesus was a mic dropper, all right? Let's just put it that way. He says stuff, he just takes it to that next level. Like, Lord, how can it happen? With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. The same God that you believe in and you believe in, you believe in, and his son, Jesus Christ, who he sent to give us this redemption, this reconciliation back to him. It is possible. It may not be easy, but it is worth it. It may not be always happy, but he says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. We have victory inside of his victory. We have reconciliation inside of him. That's where we sit. That's where we rest. That's where he gets glory out of it all. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to call another dynamic speaker, Brother Brandon Saavedra.
Not at all. Give God some praise, amen. Let's give God some praise for the first part of that word that God has sent. It was amazing, amen. Let's approach this throne in prayer, amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Lord, Father, I ask that you continue to have the hearts of your people, Lord Father. Let them have their hearts and minds open, Lord, to hear a word from you right now. Lord, Father, I decrease so you may increase, Lord. Speak through this vessel, Lord, Father. Let it be a word that can benefit your people, Lord, Father, to feed them, to help them grow, Lord, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All righty. I guess me and my mom spend too much time together. Because all throughout the day, I was like, I don't know what to talk about. And I was like, nothing was making sense, literally. And I had to talk to her before about 4 o'clock. It was about 2 hours before church even started. I'm like, look, I am still a blank. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I know I'm supposed to talk about, but I have no idea. She said, I was just there. You'll be fine. Relax. Yes, very comfortable. I'm like, really? Give me something. She's like, okay, you know what to talk about. So I'm going to end up wasting my time trying to tell you what to do because you're already going to have it because God's going to give it to you. So just relax. So I tried to. And then it came. And she's like, see, I told you. So my word tonight to talk about is commitment. Commitment. And what I was stuck on was what angle to come about it with commitment. So I was like, Lord, how do you want me to address this to your people? So guess I'm going to start off with myself and we'll work our way to the whole picture. Amen. So when you think of commitment, the definition of it is the state or quality of being dedicated to an activity, a cause, whatever it may be. It's being dedicated, devoted. Now, back then, back in like 2005, I used to love reading a Japanese comic called Naruto. Toshan would probably be the only one in this room who knows what I'm talking about. Now, you know what I'm saying? Got enough support in the back. This comic's been going on since 1999 and ended in 2014. Starting from I was a freshman in high school, every week from 2005 to the end, every week I would get up at 6 a.m. to read it. Only 15 pages. 10 of them had no words on it. But every morning I found myself, every Wednesday by 6 o'clock, I was up on a computer to read it. I said, I'm going to go see this thing through because I started watching and said, this is good. I enjoy it. I like it. I committed to reading this story. I wanted to see go it through the end. So I spent the next 9 years literally reading this thing. Every Wednesday, if they change the day, I said, no problem. I'll get up that next day. If it changed to a Friday, I'll get up at Friday at 6 to read it. If they had a holiday and it's like, oh, I missed this week, I'll be waiting next week. I'll be waiting to be in early to see when it's coming out. I would check before. It's like, okay, it has to be out early than Wednesday or Friday. I was committed to reading that to get the full story, to enjoy it. I put my heart into that. But let me ask this a question. Will we do the same thing for God's work? And I'll be honest, I probably have not matched that. Just be honest, being transparent. There's moments I'm like, oh, Lord, reading the Bible. I'll do what Clint Antonio do. I had to set my phone for the verse of the day. 11:13. Okay, the verse of the day is that. Good. Open it. Check mark. I got my verse in, Lord. It's a different one every day, so I'm getting something different every day. I'll be all right. I'm checking it off, but I'm getting something variety to it. But without realizing, is that really commitment? Is that really commitment? I mean, it's a good start. But at this point in the race, should we just be living just off of that? Just one verse, happen to glance at it, smile, check mark, read it. Okay, Lord, I got it. And then continue whatever we're doing. And we're saying we're committed. Mm-mm. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And though we read this yesterday, and I was told my mom told me this as well, it's okay to read another verse again. But we're going to view it through the context of commitment. And it reads, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, which ye have heard of me. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, that was Jesus talking to his disciples before his ascension back up into heaven. Now, the funny thing is he didn't tell them a day. He didn't say, okay, wait till July 15th, you know, 33 AD, at a time of 8:12. He didn't give them a day. He said, not many days, but in due time, I'm going to send my spirit down for you all. So wait in Jerusalem. Now, back context there, Jerusalem was starting to be a hot spot. People were still talking about Jesus, and the Romans did not like that. So it was starting to rev up to the point where it was not safe for Christians to be in Jerusalem. Rome was beginning to crack down, to put down their full force, because they didn't want to hear anything about Jesus. They said, he already died. He's done. Why are they still talking about him? So they knew, it was like, do you really need to stay in Jerusalem? But Jesus said, stay there until the promise fulfills. That takes commitment, the disciples showed. Because I was, through the 2 hours, the Lord showed me there was four levels of commitment. Commitment to oneself, family, the church, and most importantly, with God himself. And each of those are not independent of each other. They all depend one on another. So like what Mr. Tony was talking about being intentional, they had to make their mind up that they're going to stay. They had to make their mind up that each and every one of them had to make up their mind and say, you know what, I'm going to commit to what Jesus has just told me. You can't rely on what people may say, because some people say something like, you know what, that's them, I'm not going to do that. But commitment starts with yourself first. I'm going to be intentional to come to church today. I can't worry about if my best friend's going to be in church today. Hey, Dominique, oh, you're not going to be in church today? Pastor, I may be sick today. I will catch you next week. We can't depend on just who's here to show our commitment. Regardless of who's here, we have to make that decision ourselves. Say, you know what? I'm going to push through. And it's going to be tough sometimes. Say, you know what? Man, I messed up. I made a mistake. Pick yourself up again. Commitment is an ongoing thing. And Tony took the words that I was going to use. Commitment is the combination of being intentional with being consistent. If you're intentionally consistent, that's commitment. Each and every day you wake up and realize, you know what, I'm going to make this choice to serve the Lord today. I can't worry about next week because we don't know what's going to happen next week. We could be called up and then that's it. You're on the boat or you missed it. You're like, man, I waited 4 days short. And Jesus is like, why didn't you commit me to that day right here, right now, in the moment? Because these levels of commitment for ourselves, they send ripple effects. So in 2019, how are we going to be committed? I know I need to be in the Word more. I know I need to be seeking Him more for more things than I've already have been doing. Because I'm getting this realizing, self-reflecting, if I'm not where I need to be, begins a chain effect. God wants us to do great and miraculous things. But it starts with myself first. Lord, I need to make sure I'm talking to you and being in communion with you. I need to be in my word. Because if we're not doing that, we're not beginning to exercise the gifts that are in us. And when we don't exercise the gifts, here's what happens. When the church needs you, you're not in position. Because of our non-commitment, the church will suffer. And since we're not there, the church can't do what it needs to do effectively. Therefore, the church's mission is compromised. And the church's mission is compromised when someone walks in through the door who needs saving. They say, man, something is off at this place. It's not quite right. I'm going to turn back around and leave. There goes a soul right there. And that leads to our relationship hurt with God. Because then we're saying, Lord, why is these things working? We've been praying for these things for years. We've been praying for our church for years. But he's saying, go back through the line. Are you doing your part? Commitment is an ongoing thing for each and every person. You just can't say, oh, I may read the Bible every day. Oh, I missed it. It'll be all right. And God's grace covers, but he's like, look, you're the one person they need. They're waiting on you. I have this blessing for this church, for my house. I want to use you. I have set it up for you to be the one to help push them forward. And we think, Lord, what could I do by myself? It says, I can do great things through you if you just commit to me. If you just surrender and commit to me, I will teach you. I will build you up. We always asking for blessings from the Lord. He's like, it's already here. Go look out. Look into yourself and say, look, I put something into you. I have given you tools that the kingdom needs. Are you going to commit and put the time in to develop those tools? if we can take the time to develop the tools that God has given us, the church is already more well equipped to do great and marvelous things. But we have to get it together, to come together. Amen. Let's go to Acts 2. Verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they are all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The disciples stayed. They were committed. Here's prime proof of what happens when we stay committed and we wait on the promise God has given us. He will give us power beyond anything we can imagine to do great things for the kingdom. And how each and every one of them, we've talked about the story plenty of times, but it's still marvelous how each of them stayed and each of them was committed. They didn't worry about who was there, who was not. They were each committed on one accord because they knew the purpose. Like Tony was saying, it's all about that intentional and purpose. They all had a reason to be there, to commit to what Jesus had told them, and they were rewarded to be great, great tools for the kingdom. And God wants to do that with us right now. We have our fire, but we may let it go dull. And he wants to wake it up again. He's saying, I put the fire in you. The same power that was given to them, I have given it to you right now. Why aren't you using it? Like Deborah said, it's in you to do more than just the monetary. It's the spiritual healing that we can give to others if we just tap into it. But we got to make sure we're in position. Life will try to distract us. It will try to pull us down. It will try to sever our commitment with God. It will try to stop the chain of reaction from happening. But we have to tell ourselves, like Tony was saying, that's why I told him I was going to use what he used. We have to make that choice. This is all building upon each other. When we become intentional and we continue to do it, we are deepening our commitment to God. More and more, we're trusting him to say, you know what, Lord, each and every day that I'm living through, I'm going to do something for the kingdom. Lord, guide me. And as we stay in tune with him, he will tell us what to do. He'll make it plain for you. We just have to remain committed. We may be times where it may be in a bad rut we're in. Commitment is not about just all about the good times. Commitment's through the bad times as well. Who's all married in the room? Who's all married? Where's all the married people? When you were married, did you have to say some sort of vows? Didn't they say like through sickness and in health? Through annoyance? Through stubbornness? Didn't it say something like that? Yes, they will get on your nerves. They didn't say that at all, sir. But it's like, look, you're going to have bad days, but aren't you all joining together in a holy matrimony before the Lord? Amen? You all knew what y'all were getting into. No. Well, I mean, if you've been dating for so long, you should know the person you're dating. I'm just saying. And if it comes as a surprise, then you weren't paying attention. That's another sermon for another day. Let's not move on from that. But the same thing goes. We make those vows. That's a vow of commitment. It says, no matter how much you would get on my nerves, I will still love you. You can drive me up the wall, but in the day, we're still together. We're going to make through this. Because you have to be intentional and say, you know what? If God ordained for this to be, then we will make through it. No matter how stupid we may act. I'm talking about you all, not me. I'm good. He's working on me still, so I can say that. But he's saying, be committed to me and I will lead you. I will never lead you astray if we remain committed to the Lord. Commitment will be hard sometimes, but we have to dig in. If we can deal with our jobs, getting up the wall. We already, you know, to put aside our holy hat and speak our minds, our fleshly minds, but yet we go back the next day. If we can get through that, we can do the work for Christ. Because we know through him, he will give us the strength we need. If we can get through this world each and every day and commit to all these earthly things, we could definitely commit to what God has for us. He made that a guarantee. He says, you can, with me, nothing is impossible. But stay with me. I will see you through. His grace is sufficient. Just commit to me, says the Lord. So in 2019, let's just think, before we think about ourselves, let's have the big picture in mind. Realize that you are not just somebody. You are a piece to the puzzle. Brother Hector, you could be a piece to the puzzle in 2019. You don't even know it. Something that you, even today, when he came over with the Bible, right? You can just see how much you want to reach out and learn. That hunger that's there, that level of commitment we can already see is there. You could be the missing piece. Only God knows. But he sent you here for a reason. So don't shy back on. You keep going the way you're going. Go fearless. Because the Lord loves to use people who want to be used. And I can see it all over. All over. So you keep doing what you're doing. Amen. Each and every one of you, keep pushing for your relationship with God, because he is ready to use you like he has never used you before. Just got to be committed to his will and to his way. Amen. Amen. We're now going to call up Minister Dominique, who's going to be the ankle leg for this relay. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Great word, Brandon. Great word. Only with intentional. That was a blessing. Being intentional and commitment. I'm going to be talking about perseverance. So as we approach the throne of grace, Father God, I thank you right now, Father God, for this moment that we're in right now, God. Father God, we just ask that you just be in this building right now, Father God. Lord, let all your words that went forth, oh Father God, let it fall on good ground right now, oh God. Father God, we ask that you saturate this place right now, Father God, with your anointing spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So I was tasked with the word perseverance. So let's get a definition first before I start. Continuing effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, opposition. The action or condition of an instance of persevering. Now, the world has conditioned us to get things right now. We have Alexa. I don't know if y'all know who Alexa is, but she's intelligent. Alexa turns on the lights. Alexa, turn on the lights. Alexa, turn my oven to 300. It is. Alexa, work my washing machine. We're so conditioned to get things the easy way. And that's the world putting that on us, because they want you to do it. They want you to fast food. Anybody know what 3 days, know it takes 3 days to make biscuits like your grandma used to make? She had to make them biscuits. It took a while. You used to wait for them biscuits. Like, mom, I'm ready, right? No, they ain't ready yet. No, you got to wait. You wake up the next day, the biscuits ready? No, the biscuits ain't ready yet. They got the rise. Do they? You got to wait for it to rise. You know, that's how my grandma used to make biscuits. It took a while. But we so conditioned to make the think we want things right now. But raise your hands if somebody told you that following Christ was going to be easy. Anybody told you it was going to be easy? I didn't think so. Because it's a hard road. It's hard. I know Jesus is more than able, and he sent us a comforter. But he had to go through some things too. Let me get the first verse, Tony. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. We will go through some things. Times will be hard. It's tough, but we have to know who our Father in heaven is. We have to know who he is enough. We can't go by what somebody else told you. I can't just say, Brandon, you need to follow Jesus. I'm going to tell you what he done for me. And Brandon going to be like, yeah, but you weren't in my situation. What if we traded position? Will that still happen? Brandon has to go seek him. Yes, and I could be an example for Brandon. See how I walk and talk. But when Brandon get in trouble, do he know that God will bring him through? Amen. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. So when we go through things, some of us tend to shy away from the word now. I prayed for something, and I didn't get it in an hour. Oh, God ain't listening to me. Oh, he ain't hearing me. I pray again. He hasn't answered my prayers in a day. I prayed for it yesterday, and it still ain't come. I prayed for a month. Prayed for a year. It hasn't came. So now you want to run away from the church. God's not hearing me. God's not real. It can't be because I kept praying and praying. Yeah, but you gave up. You gave up. You have a goal on the other side that you're trying to reach. Lord, I want to hear you more clearly. So I have to keep pushing. There are people talking about me, but I got to keep pushing. There's people who lied on me, but I got to keep pushing. There's a lot of things that's going to come our way, but we have to keep moving forward. Bring up the next verse for me, Tony. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations. I can start right there. It tells us we're going to go through some things. That's the word. We're going to go through some things. But we cannot stay in that place. God wants you to be isolated. He wants you to stop following Christ. He wants to get you isolated so you're like, man, I don't know what I'm doing. Father, I don't want to live this. I just can't do it no more. He wants you to have the attitude because when he gets you by himself, that's when the enemy sees you. When you're all alone and you don't know nothing else to do, so they start working on you. You ain't nothing. Why are you going to that church anyway? Huh? Your prayers ain't been answered. God ain't listening. That's what the enemy does to you. When you get alone, he wants you. The devil sent out all his enemies. And I'm going to tell you why he does that. Because he knows the plan that God has for you. God has a mighty work in every last one of us. And if he can stop you from getting to that point, then his mission is complete. But God has greater things for you. We stop too quickly. We stop too quickly. Our blessing is right there. It's right there. There's a song that says, I come too far to turn back now. I already started following Christ. I can't let nothing hold me back. I have to keep pushing. It says, but be of good cheer. So while I'm going through these things, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I know I can't see it right now. That's why the word says, walk by faith and not by sight. Because I might not see it right now, but I have to keep pushing. I have to keep, even when my friends call, it's like, you want to come hang out? I can't do that right now. I got to focus right here. We have to focus. We can't be distracted by these other things. We have to stay focused on the cross. The word says, take up your cross if you want to follow me. That means that cross wasn't no baby cross. The cross wasn't no baby. The cross was huge. You can see it up the mountain. So you know it wasn't.
It was one of these. It was one of these.
Well, it will beat you down. We have to be like trees. When the wind comes, yes, we may lose some leaves. We might even use some branches, but we have to be rooted in Christ. Amen. We cannot let this world distract us from where God has us to go. We cannot be distracted. Be of good cheer. Even when you're going through, you might not see it. But Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Every step you take, even if you fall, He fell. Even if you fall, Lord, I still trust you, God. Lord, I know I messed up, Lord. I repent right now, God, and I continue back on the track, God. Lord, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to stop. That's what perseverance is. We're going to go through things in life, but we cannot give up. Amen? Even with this ministry right here, Pastor DiCarlo, he spoke his word. He spoke the word God talked to him, and it went forward. And people said, is your doors closing? Are y'all still got a church over there? They thought we was going to stop. What was they thinking? What was they thinking? If they know where we came, what we had to go through to get to where we at. Hallelujah. See, before when he left that legacy. Now what do we have going? We have a prison ministry. We have a prayer tent. The youth ministry is moving up. See, the devil thought he had us. The devil thought he had the ministry. But look at us growing. We cannot let things hold you back. Persevere. Go through. And when you go through, remember what the word says. James said, call it, count it all joy. All of it. Give me the next verse, honey. Hallelujah, God. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Lord, I know. Lord, I trust you. I know my healing is on the other side. The doctor gave me a bad report. Brandon, can you pray for me, Brandon? Brandon, can you come? Can we pray together? Okay, the next day I go back. The doctor say, I still ain't looking good. Brandon, can you come pray for me, Brandon? I'm not stopped going to church just because what the doctor say. Just because the doctor say, look, I got a praying family. I got a praying church. I got a praying spirit. I got prayer on my side. There's a lot of people think prayer don't change things. But it's a bunch of people in here right now that got a praise on their lips because God has brought them through. Hallelujah, God. So even though you might have a heart condition, God is more than able. More than able to heal. They want to hit you with all kinds of things. Lord, I trust you. It's perseverance. I know it gets hard. Believe me, I know. I know it gets hard. It gets hard. But you have to keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep pushing. Keep going. Don't stop no matter what it looks like. It looks like it's feeling hard. I can't see, Lord. But I know you have to know God for yourself and trust him. He can change your heart. He'll change. He can do these things. I'm a witness to it. I'm a witness to it. I done did all kind of stuff. All kind of stuff. And God had to deliver me from that. I can't go back to it. Because like I said, I done came too far to turn back now. God has made a way time and time again. Time and time over and over again. So for those who thinking about throwing in the towel, thinking about giving up, because God, you felt like God's not hearing you. You feel like God's neglected you. You feel like God forsaking you. He hears you. He hears you. You have to put forth effort. You have to read the word. You have to speak the word. You have to get all the negativity out. Lord, I speak life. I speak life. I know I'm struggling, but I speak life. Despite your situation, Lord, I speak life. Despite my circumstance, Lord, I speak life. I cannot let what my situation look like determine my praise. Lord, I have to praise you when I'm going through. I have to give you praise. Praise your way through. You confuse the enemy. Oftentimes we get upset. We're like, man, my job is really getting on my nerves. Oh, I got an eviction notice. I got a bad report. Don't you know if you give God praise in the midst of that storm, he honors that thing and turn it around? What the devil thought he had you, he turns around for your good? This is the kind of God that we serve. Hallelujah, God. This is what kind of God that we serve. So push through. No matter the situation, I know it's hard. Even in kids in school, yes, you got a lot of classes. Yes, you get a lot of homework. You're trying to juggle sports and school. It's hard. It's hard. Persevere. God can do it. But you have to read your word. Don't think just because you come to church on Sunday that suffices, nah. You have to read your word. look, I only can take you so far. I only can pray for it. You got to do diligent. You got to do your thing. But I'm going to end with that because I can go on for a long. Give me another verse, Tony. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You have, God is going to test you. You're going to go through some things, but it's building you up. It's only built to make you stronger. I haven't been in a weight room and seen 400 pounds and was just like, I had to start at 120, 130, 140. It took time. You had to build up to it. I had to fail. Sometimes I went to 250 and it didn't work out. So I had to go back down to 140 and go back up again. But that is how it works. That's how it works. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Give me the next one. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Hallelujah. One more verse. Give me Revelations 2 and 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If you endure, if you keep pushing forward, if you don't give up, if you don't throw in the towel, you will get the crown of life. If you follow the word of God, these things are all possible. Amen? Amen. So I'm finished now. I ain't going to go back into it. But persevere. I know we want many times we want to give up. Things get hard, man. It's, God is with you. Even though that you might not see it, God is there. He's there. And he's cheering you on. He want to see you successful and good and happy. But you have to continue. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to call up Brother Brian to speak a couple words.
Hallelujah.